Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to
UDD Underground Sounds Radio.
Exposure for your music.
Chill, son. Don't even worry about it, I got you covered. Get your chicken wings and your popcorn, I'm saying. I'm here to handle business. I'm about to knock out rappers and physical till I'm mystical like the Blair Witches. Impaired vision, tear ligaments, internal affairs. Watching my mouth like the king with a mad dentist. I got a rare image, I'm old school. The flows and pro tools for woos, I'm Ric Flair vintage. I'm in the air, the hoodie say I'm embarrassed. I'm aware I'm ahead of these squares, John Mayer with it. So fly, I could probably give you a spare ticket. If you bowling for Columbine, you get a spare with it. Finish the frame while I replenish the game. The more lost, there's plenty to gain. Cause I've been witness to pain. Poverty's such a pitiful thing. That's why I'm trying to administer shame. Who put it down like me? They think on E. Got them hating on me. Cause I'm with the KB. A fortified MC. I'm a fortified MC, homie. Ayy, who put it down like me? They think on E. Got them hating on me. Cause I'm with the KB. A fortified MC. I'm a fortified MC. So put your mic down. Iller than most, for the kid or adult. I'm in it to win it, my lyrics put your lid in the scope. Into the ropes, get your bones injured and broke. I leave them twisted like a loaf full of cinnamon toast. Didn't used to be willing to boast, gotta remember that. Now I'm in a different class, I'm like an aristocrat. A richness got me to end the rack. I used to be alienated like the men in black. How real is that? Living the rap, I was born for this. You fraudulent, I stream like consciousness. The consequence, I'm making y'all call it quits. You lost the anonymous tip like consequence. Ugh, monstrous, I was forced to rip. No more features for the free, it's gon' cost a grip. Fortunate for anybody talking slick, I'd rather not have to borrow some clip. Who put it down like me? They think on E. Got them hating on me, cause I'm with the KB. A fortified MC. I'm a fortified MC, homie. Ayy, who put it down like me? They think on E. Got them hating on me, cause I'm with the KB. A fortified MC. I'm a fortified MC. So put your mic down. Back to the basics. Smack them in their faces. Crack a couple heads if they acting like they major. Puerto Ricans with me, let them yap them with the razors. Jack them for their jackets, then it's back to getting paper. Rapping like a taser. Shocking the world, cover it up like the socks on your girl. I got her watching me. Looking at my video, she studying my policies. Like Obama, I'm a cold rhymer for the colony. All up in her eyes like lobotomy. Haven't seen this kind of G since Prodigy came out in 93. I keep it thorough when the verbal, when the mob is. Hit them where it hurt like dessert, make it hard to eat. I do it all subconscious.
I love that song. This is your host, Patty Cates. I'm back with another exclusive interview, like I will be doing every Thursday with different artists of the week. I'm also going to be starting a controversy Tuesday where I'll be talking about all types of subjects, like a lot of worldly subjects, because we need it. The artist that will be coming on now is like a real lyrical monster. He's great when it comes to lyrics. We want to talk a little bit with him about what's going on with him. So let me bring him on. Jay
Hello.
Nolan. Yes.
Yes.
This you, Jay Nolan?
That's me.
What's good? It seems like your phone is kind of low.
It's low?
Yes. Yes, it seems like it's kind of low, or maybe it's mine. Or maybe you have me on the speakerphone or something. Yeah, it kind of seems like it's kind of low.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
So you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you for the fans that don't know who you are?
Oh, yeah, for sure. My name is Jay Nolan, 25-year-old MC, originally from New Haven, Connecticut. Currently staying in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, I'm a student of hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? I love it to death. So, you know, my whole thing is to pretty much preserve and carry on the tradition that was laid, you know, with the foundation that was laid before I came in. and just try to make the elder statesman proud. You know, it's a lot of music out right now, and there's a lot of people doing a lot of different things. But one of the things that you don't really get to hear on a mainstream high level are lyricists that actually care about what they're saying and actually trying to put something positive back into the culture, you know. So that's basically who I am in a nutshell.
Exactly, exactly. And how long have you been making music?
Probably about 13 years now. Since I was like a young teenager.
That's a very long time. And you write too?
Yeah, I write everything. You know, I contribute to other people's songs as well. Nothing that's like huge out there just yet, but I also do some writing. I also do songs for placements, you know, as far as like television and stuff like that. But primarily my focus is in creating my own songs.
So you said when you're writing for other people's songs, that's more like ghostwriting.
No. I don't ghostwrite for anybody. I contribute, you know what I'm saying? So it's like if they not be verbally on the song,
More like a feature.
You can have features or you contributing ideas to the greater scheme of the song. I don't consider that ghostwriting. It's just being a co-writer, pretty much.
Oh, okay. That's good. And you have your own label, too. Are you planning on bringing other people on to your label somewhere down the line?
But that's going to take some time. I gotta establish myself and get my brand noticed and, you know, make sure that I'm stable and, you know, in a good position to help somebody else get them in a better position. You know what I'm saying? Like, one thing that I never want to do, you know, from watching how this game works is give myself too much of a load that I can't put the proper energy into the next person, because that ain't going to help them. It ain't going to help me. And in the end, they just going to be mad and it's going to be a disgruntled relationship. I'd rather just wait until I could properly facilitate that.
So that means with you having your own label and you being an indie artist, do you rather stay indie or are you still looking for a record deal?
Well, for me, it's all about the discussion. It's about the terms. You know, staying indie is a great thing. However, when it comes to, you know, the major labels are essentially banks and marketing firms. They loan you money and they market you out to the public. They have the you know, the biggest reach out of anyone else. You know, within if they say this is what we're moving on, they have the ability to send it out to the masses to get it on television and radio, you know, because they've already been here. They have established relationships that go back 40-50 years. So, you know, or longer, you know. So staying indie is good artistically, and if you have industry connects to where you can, you know, maneuver as a independent artist with major relationships, you know, that's great too. You know, so for me, it's all about what's going to be beneficial for me. But I can't say that I would never sign with a major label, but as of now, I'm staying indie until I can, you know, basically get what I need. It's all about getting what you need out of it.
So, with a lot of free music going on, we're in like more like the mixtape era. Do you think that a lot of the artists are still making money for real? Because there's a lot of trolling too going on. We're in the trolling era where people would make you think it's this, but it's not really that, because you got a lot of people that's, when you start looking at, like, a lot of stuff I found out with the followers, a lot of these people don't have the followers they're supposed to have. You can buy followers.
Uh-huh.
You can buy views.
Right.
Do you think it's still money out there?
Yeah. Yes. There's a lot of money. I won't say a lot, but it compared to what, you know, some people might tell you, there's money to be made, man. You just have to be diverse. You can't bank on just making songs, you know, as a solo artist and thinking that you're going to be, you know, living the life that people expect a rap star to live. However, if you are a person that, you know, say you write, you do your songs, maybe you get a little bit into production. You don't even have to get into production, but let's say that you're somebody that's willing to cut all the samples out of your music to try to get your songs placed in television and movies, or if you're somebody that wants to, you know, stay independent and release your albums through, not even on iTunes, but say you want to release all your music through your own website and hire a marketing firm to lead all your fans to that website to where any revenue that comes in goes directly to you, there's still music. I mean, there's still money to be made. It's just all about in what you're trying to do. You know, merchandising and things of that nature also provide other revenue streams for artists. So, I mean, it's all about your business plan, and that's pretty much where I'm at, you know, trying to get mine together so that I can cash in the way that I need to, you know what I'm saying, the way that I'm seeing other people do it. I mean, there's artists out there that are making, you know, a living. Like, okay, put it like this. The average rapper starts rapping because they want to be a millionaire. But if you sit them down and you tell them that they could make $1,000 a year salary off of making music and live, you know, comfortably middle class, they might look funny, but once you break it down to them, it'll make sense later.
So would you say that, like, I see a lot of people having their music on iTunes, but when I look at their video views, what I don't understand, if you have low video views, how are you actually selling music? That's something I don't understand. Because it sounds like to me, where's your fan base coming from? Are you doing it the wrong way, or is it something I don't know?
Well, I mean, you can't base it solely on the fact that a person's video views aren't that high, because, all right, how many videos have you gone on where you actually clicked the link to go to iTunes from the video? I mean, I haven't. So
I haven't.
Yeah, and some people, you know, some people do actually have the links on their videos, and they may have high numbers of video counts.
Oh,
but
wait a minute, some of them I have. I didn't click the link, but you know what I just thought about is some of the signed artists or some of the artists that may be a little higher up, they do have theirs on there. But I never clicked it, so
I haven't either. You know, so you know, it's a lot of smoke and mirrors. So, but what I will say for somebody that may not have a high caliber of video views and music on iTunes at the same time, you never know what that person is doing within, you know, their city. They may not have an online presence, but maybe they have, you know, a network of, you know, a couple hundred people who actually care about what they're doing and come to their shows, and they may, you know, be buying the music on iTunes. I don't know. I can't say. You know what I mean? Everybody's case is different. But overall, I would tell anybody to try to do what you can to get your YouTube presence up.
So you're saying they're still selling music even though you have all these million of mixtapes that's appearing? Because it looks like even with the signed artists, that's what a lot of them are doing, just dropping mixtapes.
Right. Well, like I said, everybody's situation is different. Everybody has a different business plan. I think that anybody dropping a free mixtape, and this is strictly my opinion, if you're dropping a free mixtape in 2015, I would hope that you have a plan behind it. Like, say this mixtape, you have your team behind you, and you're going to use this mixtape as the launching pad to gain, you know, that fan base that may buy your next project. So maybe you've been floating under the radar and you have a little bit of a fan base, but let's say you had this mixtape and you guys have done all the necessary steps, you know, to say, okay, we're going to put out this free project. We're going to have, you know, this major publication debut it. We're going to be doing these different press dates where, you know, you may go on you know, the who's who of different radio shows, you know. If you have that in motion and you can put out a free mixtape, I think that, you know, you're doing okay, because after that, you're going to see opportunities. You're going to be able to field in your tour dates and, you know, hopefully make some money on the back end. So it just depends. There's people out there that don't sell music at all but are still living, you know, a decent lifestyle based on touring. So it's just about the work that you and your team put in.
So do you do a lot of tours? Because I really don't know too many underground artists either that really go on tours and do shows like they used to.
Right, right. Me personally, I haven't been on, you know, like a nationwide tour yet. I do spot dates, you know. It's tough because I do everything myself at this point, you know. But at the same time, that's why I'm telling people, you know, it's all about your business plan and the things that you want to do, because although it's the opportunity is there, you know what I'm saying? It takes patience and it takes a lot of building and networking in order to do it, but anybody that is serious about it, you know, the opportunity is there. That's my whole thing. I'm just not trying to deter people from, you know, trying to actually make it work.
Right. And so what do you think about today's music? What's your intake on it? Because you were there in Atlanta.
Right, right. Well, what I'll say is I tried to be nice for a long time, you know what I'm saying, like, and just be like, well, you know, they do what they do, but I'm going to be honest and say, you know, me personally, I can't listen to a lot of the music that gets, you know, the major push right now, simply because, you know, I've even had to reevaluate what I want to do as an artist. You know, there was a time where I was comfortable, you know, spitting gun bars and, you know, talking all types of craziness and just being like, well, I'm a good person, so, you know, you should judge me upon that. But really, I'm transitioning my own music to be more indicative of my personal character. So when I hear other talking about the trap jumping and, you know, all this different stuff, you know, it sounds cool in the club, but it sounds pretty whack when I hear my little brothers and sisters singing along to it. So I can't really get down with that. You get what I'm saying? From a hip-hop perspective, it's very disappointing to see that there were so many people that put their blood, sweat, and tears on the line to make this a valid form of music. And in 2015, we're right back to the same element where we started, where hip-hop was like counterculture. It's being looked at like, you know, like, how could I put it? Like second-class citizens, basically. Even though there's people making money and doing things, and it's like you get to the highest form of media, but even though we're in the highest form of media, we're in the lowest form of humanity with it. You know what I'm saying? Every time our superstars get acknowledged for something, it's because they got in a fight, they got a baby mama drama, or, you know what I'm saying? So overall, even beyond the music, I'm fed up with the culture as a whole. That's my issue.
So whose fault do you think that is? Because, like you say, that we get recognized for what you would call, like, ignorant, being
right.
Ignorant. Or do you feel that hip-hop, the people, the artists who makes the music, is the cause of it? Or do you feel like, you know, like a lot of them are just so thirsty for the attention or for the money?
Right.
Or who would you blame that on? Because a lot of people would blame it on the record companies, society, but nobody is putting a gun to the artist's head and saying, make this.
Right.
So
well,
who would you say is to blame?
I say it's the culture, and the culture is everybody. If you partake in hip hop in any level, if you own the music, if you listen to it, you are to blame, unless you're empowering people that make, you know, the type of music that you want to hear. So, you know, I come across people all the time that, you know, they may like my style of music. They may like, you know, a Loaded Lux or Kendrick Lamar or whomever, people think is, you know, really good, Big Crit, whoever. However, you know, when I say, okay, you like that, but who do you listen to the most? And they say Migos, and they say Future. You know what I'm saying? I say they're to blame. I say that the artists are to blame as well, because I know artists that, you know, start out with this dream and they're like getting their skills up and they're doing all these things, and, you know, things don't take off because the fans still ain't listening. You know what I mean? That's why I blame the fans too. And then they you know, they get that light bulb moment and it's like, okay, well, damn, this club shit is what's popping. So let me go make that. And then they switch it up and they learn how to do that well, and they actually may take off with it. And once you take off with it, you're not going to go back. You're going to be, this is what's keeping me afloat right now. So the industry is messed up from all angles, because let's say if I took a meeting tomorrow with my current catalog, they're going to say, you're a great rapper, but now we need you to make radio-friendly songs. And if I don't have enough leverage and the team and management behind me that stands firm on my ideals as an artist, if I decide to go into business with this company, you'll probably never hear me make songs like I did before, because it's not what's currently profitable, you know, for the record companies. Like, say, they're not going to invest in a project that they project is only going to sell 20,000 copies. You know, if there's 20,000 people that want to buy what I'm doing, that sounds great for me. But for the company, they're like, well, it's going to cost us $300,000 to even get it out. We're not going to take that loss. You need to make more marketable style of music. So it's messed up on all angles. You gotta be willing to stand firm on what you want to do, and sometimes that means losing out on a few dollars here and there.
So is there any part of you that feel a little pressure to do so, or is any part of you that feel like, you know what, maybe I should just give in?
No. I felt like that a year ago. I felt like, man, if this is what's going on, and I know I'm a talented artist, I know that anything that any other artist can do, I'm capable of doing it. You know, I felt like, okay, maybe I could take that, you know what I'm saying, and try to still give people my message at the same time. But in order to do that, it would go against the reason why I even started doing it in the first place. And you know, you still run the risk of that you may fail trying to do that. So how does it look when you're not doing well doing what you love, but then you try to do something else and conform to what's hot and you still fail? You look like a real loser. You know what I'm saying? So I'm good with just trying to make the best possible product that I can, and you know, hoping that people gravitate to it and that they relate to it. I think that is the biggest thing that's missing right now, is that a lot of the music that I don't like relates to the most amount of people, because people in the hood like what these niggas is rapping about. You know what I'm saying? They may not even be trappers, but it relates to the lifestyle and what's around them. Whereas a lot of the artists who have more of a skill set, they don't talk about nothing. It's just raps. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of different factors. I have a quarrel with some of everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I would like to sit down with a lot of different people and just hone in on, you know, what this art form is really about. And I think that if we can somehow come to that agreement and realization that this art form is really about communicating to the people the lifestyle of the people, and to do that, you know, with, you know, at the highest level of skill that we can, and still do this and still give that message, I think we'll be okay. Now, the problem is that, you know, you're not going to sit down with everybody, but in an idealistic world, I think that would be the best solution, rather than, you know, just bashing everybody.
Now, some people feel when you look at lyrical people, some people feel like being a real lyrical artist, you may be a little too preachy, or it may be a little too serious, or you know, what do you feel that, because you are a lyrical artist, do you get that a lot with people saying that to you?
I've never had anybody say that I'm preachy. My biggest objective is to not be preachy. However, what I have noticed is that the style of beats is not what the average listener is looking for. So me being a student of hip hop, me being somebody that grew up on boom bap music, it's hard to take that in when a person is saying, yo, that beat, I don't know about that beat. Like, it's cool. It sounds cool, but I'm not going to ride out nowhere listening to that. You know what I mean? Like, it's tough to take that in. I think that's a hard thing to tackle for a lot of artists, to see a lot more of these so-called lyrical artists have fun in their music. And it doesn't mean that you have to make trap music, but have fun, because at the very same time that, you know, A Tribe Called Quest were the peaceful rappers, all of their songs had an element of fun to it. They weren't preaching nothing, you know what I'm saying? So I look at them as a blueprint. I look at everybody in the 90s. Everybody in the 90s that was saying something had singles that you could play at a party. Now, it may not be the same type of party that we have today, but it was a party for that time period, you know what I'm saying? And the core of a hit record has not changed. If you can't incorporate melody into any of your music, you're probably not going to be successful.
Right. Because when you listen to music, people hear the beat first before they even hear any lyrics. And if your beat is trash, you know, I don't mean to call it trash, but if it's just not what a person, people, they bob their head first before they even hear the lyrics. And they will turn it off. I know I'm guilty of that. Turning it off if I can't really vibe to the beat first. But, of course, I'm from the Midwest. And so that's how it is here. So what I'm going to do, I want, before I even, because I have a question or something, and I want to play this song before that, but I want to take a call before that because I have a question or something, but it's going to take me playing this song before I ask this question. So let's take a call. One moment.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
You got a question for Jay Nolan?
Yes, this is Music IMTV.
Hi, Music IM.
How you doing? Salute the Underground Sounds Radio. Salute to Patty Cakes all day. You know, Music on MTV supports. Also, you know, salute to Jay Nolan. You know, I've been here listening for a good minute. Definitely sound like you got a good head on your shoulders. You know, I got a question, though, Jay Nolan.
Okay.
Is it important for artists to brand themselves?
It's probably the most important thing you could do.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah,
a lot of
like,
them have problems with that.
Yeah, you want to make you want to present something that's consistent to people, because like the fans buy into who you are as a person now. It's not just about having good music. They want to know that you're a person that they actually like. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So anything that you take part in basically has to come back to the branding of who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you look at somebody like Wiz Khalifa, you know, we don't necessarily, well, I won't say, I don't necessarily love his music, but the smoking community, he can't go wrong with, because he makes music specifically for those people that get off work, go home, want to blaze up and listen to some easy listening hip-hop music. You know what I'm saying? That's his brand. He's sticking to it. He ain't never going to change that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it works.
So you're saying when you make your music, you should, you're saying you should aim your music at a specific type of group. Is that what you're saying for the branding?
Well, I wouldn't say a specific group. I just used him as an example because you know, the smoking community is such a wide variety of people, you know what I mean? Like, you have upper-class white people that smoke weed. You got the lowest people in the earth that smoke weed. You know what I mean? It's so wide, you can't really miss if you can reach them. You know what I mean? Another example of who had great branding at one time or another is DMX. DMX was the raw street guy, but one thing that was always consistent, no matter what type of song he made, he was always very honest. You know what I'm saying? He spoke from a perspective of a broken person. And the people who felt disenfranchised and left out always stuck with his words. You know what I'm saying? He could have said the most heinous murder punchline in his song, but you knew it was coming from.
And he was known for that bark.
Yeah, the bark, the dog, like that's pain. That's pure pain. So, you know what I mean? You could look up any successful person and associate something to their brand.
That's what's up, man, Jay Nolan. I really appreciate it, man. You know, that was the only question I had, man. You know, definitely keep grinding, man. Keep doing your thing.
You know,
salute to you, you know, and your success. Keep moving forward. You know, live and let live. Motivation, faith, and focus. You know, keep that in you.
Always, sir. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
No problem, man. Salute the Underground Sounds. Patty Cakes, you already know, man. I'm on listening. Salute to you, man.
Salute to you, too. He's a really, really big supporter. Not a lot of men, because he also does hip-hop, too, where he's in the battle rap world, and he also, he does hip-hop, where he does interviews. He does interviews. For battle rappers and also artists too, and I think it's more like you're with the Latino. What is it? The Latino.
The Latino Battle League. Yeah. We got the Latino Battle League going on. I'm also a coast to coast DJ. I also do magazine. I got my own magazine, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, I support Patty Cakes and anything and everything that she does. And any artist that comes on, you know, I definitely inspired by them. So, definitely salute you, man.
Word, man. We should definitely link up, man.
You already know, man. Salute to Patty Cakes.
Yep.
Yes.
Salute to you, too. You already know. That's all I had to say, you know. I'm going to be on listening.
All right, cool, man. I appreciate your call.
No problem. Salute.
Okay. And I'm going to play this song because I have a question about this. So let me play this song, and then I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
It's time to bring lyrics back to the South, man. I think people been craving it long enough, man. It's about time that we feed it on, you know what I'm saying? I brought it up from the ashes. I'm sleeping on that mattress with no bed frame. It's getting played in Paris. Walking you through my narrative, walking you through my story. If I'm missing the glory, you know I'm not being arrogant. I'm humble, fresh about the jungle, hungry as a leprosy. My life is, I know what's announcement, uglier than ketchup. Police got me under pressure because I'm trying to be a shepherd. And I'm leading my people to Jesus like a double-decker. It's a pleasure, influencing to do better, pursuing with all my efforts. My crew is coming for treasure and we pressure. Killing all the competition, get away like Dexter. No commercial, Kim Kardashian, it was sketches. I take it back to the essence. Raw rap, plain tea, star cap, Greg Street, 6 o'clock, Chris Tucker, call it back. To the matches, I'm off track. On his neck, look to call the back. But I'm actually hauling that to the future. I can't stop it till I'm on. No matter what you've been told, I'm getting it on the low. I can't stop it till I'm on. I'm doing it all alone, won't let you up in my zone. I can't stop it till I'm on. And everywhere that I go, they think I'm making that dough. I can't stop it till I'm on. Making music from the soul, distributed on my own. I can't stop it till I'm on. Out of town, but I'm rocking like I'm born here. Young blood with a chick thicker than Sean Paul's beard. On Sarah, small, but I'm walking with a force field. God got my back, so if I fall, then it's all fair.
True.
Every bar's rare, take it from the blood. If I decide to drop an album, it'll make the city flood. From the neighbors to the club, I'm embracing all this love. Even racists and haters dropping they grudge. I'm a blood ass, dirty as a hubcap. Spinning on some 24s, records I'm completing. Taking meetings like a carnivore. Creeping out the Baltimore, sleeping on my partner's floor.
What?
But I got the streets tweaking like a Charlie horse, sneaking in your daughter's dorm, acting like I'm studying. Rappers wanna brawl, get mobbed like Cumberland. Marvin Gaye, Troublemen, moving from the block, homie, get your crew dropped. Tupac,
I can't stop until I'm on. No matter what you've been told, I'm getting it on the low.
I can't stop until I'm on.
Okay, question.
Yeah.
In the beginning of that song, you said you're bringing lyrics back to the South.
Yes.
You're there in ATL. You're from the East Coast. But
right.
You grew up in ATL. You got French Montana, you got Waka Flocka, you know, both who are still from the East Coast. But they kind of like what I would consider transformed to the East Coast, I mean, to the Southern
South.
Type of music. How does, when you're having to compete with people like that, like with them transforming, and then you have the other people that are there that's making that type of music, how do you even stand out? Like, how can you even compete with that when you're in a city of stars that are like that?
Right. Right. I don't compete. I don't wish to compete with anybody, actually.
But how do you stand out? Like, how do you...
Standing out is basically you hone your craft, you believe in it, and you go out there and you put on the best live show that you could possibly do. You go out and you talk to people with respect. You give them your music and you just show and prove. That's the only way that you're ever gonna do anything. You know what I'm saying? My audience is not French Montana or Waka Flocka's audience at all, you know what I'm saying? So I can't reach for those people. If I get them along the way and, you know, they look for something different and they join my tribe, then that's cool, you know what I'm saying? But for me, I'm reaching out to the heart of the people that, you know, respect the culture, that actually look for the lyrics. And, you know, I'm trying to make a broader version of that, you know, to get more people. But I'm not ever going to be trying to compete or step into, you know, the lanes of what a Waka Flocka or a French Montana does, you know what I'm saying? Because they've already established themselves and what they do. I just gotta stay the course and establish myself in my lane.
Core, your core fan base is really like still East Coast?
It's pretty diverse actually. When I look at the numbers, I have a high presence in the East Coast. You know, you go from New York to Jersey to Boston, then you go to, like, I have a little fan base in Philly. You go to D.C., it's stronger. However, the most amount of people that listen to my music are either on the West Coast or in the U.K.
But not in the city you're in. Because do you feel like, I hear people saying that you have to be able to grasp the fan base in your own city first before
that,
you can really be considered.
I guess you could say that, but I don't believe that completely. Because, all right, prime example is the biggest rap star that we know is Eminem. Now, people can say what they want and be like, oh, he was battling. Everybody knows about maybe 3 or 4 Eminem battles, and they didn't take place in Detroit. You know what I'm saying? He went out to L.A., linked up with Dr. Dre, and Detroit caught on later. They was like, oh, that's the white boy that used to be at the battles. So for me, it's all about getting to the moment where wherever you are, you know what I'm saying, the people back home are always going to love you. They're going to hate you too. But they always gonna love you as long as you represent where you from, it don't matter where you at. You know what I'm saying?
And when I'm, yeah, because I was just like, wondering about that.
Yeah, I think it's valid to grasp the people in your hometown, but you know, the way that it works out here in Atlanta is the underground, the hip hop based underground out here, it had a presence out here 2 to 3 years ago, and it's dying. It's literally dying out here. The people who were involved. Go ahead.
No, I was getting ready to say, so are you saying that you have a lot of artists that still feel like I'm going to go to Atlanta and I'm going to become a star, or are you saying that it's kind of like now like a no-go? Or do you...
No. What I said is that the people who were involved in the real hip-hop movement where you listen to lyricists and things of that nature, that culture in Atlanta is dying. It's almost dead.
Mm.
Now, if you come here with the intent of being involved in the trap movement, you gotta... it's open for you. It's open season to do that. But if you're a lyrically talented artist coming to Atlanta, I would advise you not to come.
So you're saying that nobody... they're really not going to get any type of reaction for real to their music.
You're gonna end up coming out here, you're gonna see that it's 3 or 4 clubs that support you, and you're gonna reach a glass ceiling, and you're gonna get tired of performing at those same 4 places.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I can't even really comment on that. I just wonder, is that
like
a good thing or a bad
example.
Thing? Because you can
it's
get
terrible.
On.
Yeah, the thing is, the people who used to do the hip-hop, the real hip-hop functions out here, have moved on to soul music. You know what I'm saying? They got out of hip hop. They like, man, we can't sell no tickets. We can't pay these artists. We can't pay for the venue. People don't want to come to it. You get a small college crowd that has open minds, and they move on to the next thing. You know what I'm saying? So these guys is like, F that. We about to get involved in soul music. We gonna get involved and do some trap stuff just to keep the bills paid. And if I got time, I may do a hip hop show once every 3 months, you know what I'm saying? People getting out of it, man. They're not investing their time or their money into it no more, because the people out here have made their decision. It's not what they want as a whole. You know what I mean? You have little pockets where you can make something happen, but it's not consistent. There's no consistency in that lane.
So these are the fans. I will blame that on the people that are there. That's what they want to hear.
Yeah, I mean, we have what, 2 stations that even play independent artists out here, and they're on the verge of probably being closed down or overtaken by somebody else. The people ain't listening to those stations. They listening to the main station that's playing the same Nicki Minaj, French Montana, Trey Songz, Chris Brown. You know, they want to hear mainstream music out here. That's what they want.
But you hear all kind of complaints of people, like a lot of the people I know say that they don't listen to the mainstream music. But in Atlanta, you saying that mainstream is what's popping.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of people that say they don't listen to mainstream music. Like, okay, when you look at it, I can't speak on your circle, but the people I know that say that are typically people that are involved in this, you know, this music business, have aspirations of being involved in the music business. You know, they're tired of the same old thing. They want something new. When I ask regular people on the street that have no aspirations of being in none of this, they just want something to listen to. They don't care what it is. So if it's the radio, if they got to go to Pandora and listen to any artist that's associated with Migos. They'll go to Migos station and it'll play everything from the artists that I just named before. You know what I'm saying? It's the same cycle. It's the music that they like. It's what gets them moving. Until independent artists, independent hip hop artists specifically, can make music that hits those same notes inside a person's body that makes them move and remember your song, you know, it's going to be tough. And that's what I've had to face myself with over the past year, is how to reach those people. I think that I'm getting to that point now in my songwriting ability where I can try to reach the average person while still being who I am.
That is crazy to even hear. I don't even know what to say about that. For real.
So, yeah, man. I mean, like, okay, all right. I'll break it down. I'll break it down in even simpler terms. Like, you know who OG Macko is, right?
No.
He had a big song that came out last year. The bitch, you guessed it. I know you heard it. Right?
How does it go?
It's bitch, you guessed it. You was right. You ain't never heard that song?
No.
It was a huge radio song, and you know, he got a big deal off of putting that song out. However, just 2 years ago, OG Macko was doing the open mic circuit out here, actually trying to give people, you know, a decent display of bars. He's not the best rapper by any means, but he was actually attempting to be an MC maybe 2 to 3 years ago, and he blew up off of the most ignorant song in his whole catalog. So that just goes to show, you know, what people want.
So he transformed. He went on and just gave in.
I won't say he gave in. In his case, I think he studied what works and made his version that he's comfortable with. You know what I mean? He recently went on Twitter and was talking about, you know, a lot of the people that only know him for that song, and he was basically saying shame on them because he was putting out, you know, decent. I won't even give my perspective, but he was putting out what he was attempting to rap. People weren't listening to it, and he still has songs where he does, and people are like surprised. It's like, oh, he actually knows how to rap, but he's looking at the public like, shame on y'all for even making this what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I made this dumb song and y'all hopped on it, so I'm gonna keep feeding y'all until you wake up, pretty much.
And what is he doing now?
I mean, he's still doing a lot of different things. He has songs where he tries to go in lyrically and what his version of lyrics is, you know what I'm saying? But I think that the next song that gets on radio by him is probably going to be another ignorant song, because that's what the people are going to pick. That's what people are going to say, this is what I know you for, this is what I liked about you, so this is what's going to be hot.
So you don't feel, because I look at it like he trolled his way into getting the exposure.
Absolutely.
No part of you ever felt like that? Well, maybe I should do this and troll my way into that? Because
we're in
that era, too, where people are just trolling.
Well, no, I can't do that, because your first impression, you only got one chance to give that. So if I come in with that type of song and the rest of my mixtape or my album is nothing like that, the people that gravitated to me ain't going to be feeling me. They're going to be like, where the rest of it at? I'm going to be out.
Mm. Mm.
And that goes back to what Homeboy was saying when he called in asking about branding. You have to have a consistent brand. You can't just be jumping around. You know what I mean? You can't give people the crazy turn up and then you never make another turn-up song in your career, not if that was the one that blew you up.
You're going to have to be stuck with that.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it from numerous artists where, you know, even somebody like Future, will have the biggest turn-up song in the world, and he'll try to put out something, you know, it may not really be good, but he'll try to make something that's a little bit more mellow. He may be bored with doing turn-up songs, and the mellow song gets no recognition whatsoever. And it'll be like, okay, I'm going to rock with Future when he puts out the next song that we could play on the radio or in the club. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody trying to hear nothing deep from Future. It's just the way it is, you know what I mean? And it was made that way because that's what blew him up. If he would have came in on a different wavelength, then people would come to expect that.
Maybe he tried when he was less known. It seemed that
he
didn't
actually
get him any reaction.
I know the Future story. He was actually a rapper when he was, I mean, he's affiliated with the Dungeon Family, the same people that put out Outkast, Goody Mob, et cetera. You know what I'm saying? That's where he comes from. But he made the decision to say, people ain't trying to hear these lyrics. People want to hear melody. People want to hear rappers sing. You know what I'm saying? He found out that that's what people want to hear. People want to hear rappers sing, which is the craziest thing you would ever think of. But
I don't
want to
hear them singing if they can't sing. No.
Right. You would think that's common sense. But if you look at the rappers that have blown up within the past 4 to 5 years, all of them are trying to carry some type of tune.
Now, you know who I like? What is his name? Ray Simone or whatever, however you pronounce their names now. I like them.
Oh, Ray
Simone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. The kid. Yeah.
Yeah. I like them. Lil Wayne, I always feel like Lil Wayne is the best rapper. A lot of people get upset when I say that, but Lil Wayne singing, no. He sounds like he's crying.
Yeah.
I don't like that part of Lil Wayne.
Right.
Now, if you feel, let me ask you a question. If you feel like, okay, in Atlanta, you have more mainstream that's getting recognized in Atlanta. But when you look at other cities, including my city and including New York, a lot of cities where you have artists that are lyrical, why do you think Southern music is still on the hip-hop channels, even in the East, where there are a lot of lyrical artists?
Well,
they're everywhere.
Okay.
They're the ones that really run the radio.
They dominate because no matter where you go, people want to party. That's one thing that is not specific to any culture. It's not specific to any one branch of life. Everybody wants to party. And as of today, the Southern artists are the best at making the music for the parties. And, you know, people want to hear those songs during the day. They want to turn up at all times. You know what I'm saying? And who does it the best? People from the South. A lot of artists in New York, they went through their period of time where they wanted to try to, you know, mimic what they was hearing and do what the Southern artists were doing. It don't work. Nobody want to hear no New York accent talking about turn up. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the bottom line is the Southern artists, as far as mainstream radio, mainstream anything, they're the ones that put the numbers up. So that's what people are following. You know, these other cities, you go to New York and you're trying to kick lyrics, you know, you take that to a radio station and they're going to say, where's the hook? Where's the beat? Where's the... You know what I'm saying? Lyrics is great, but I'm not saying they're wrong for asking that question, because I challenge any artist, if you master the art of coming up with 16 bars, you need to master the art of making a hook. If you can't make hooks that people can remember, then you failed in making a song. If you just love rapping, then you can do whatever you want. But if you're trying to take it to the public and you want to be successful in the field, you have to learn how to make songs.
So you're saying the difference? I would consider that like watered down lyrics. Not trying to be funny, but
no, it doesn't
you wouldn't
you
consider it that.
No, a lot of people take that route because when you tell somebody that, the first thing they think is that they need to water down their lyrics. When in actuality, you don't necessarily have to water down your lyrics. You just have to learn. There's an art to saying more with less. All right. Every verse doesn't have to be the most metaphorical, stack rhymes on top of rhymes verse if you still know how to communicate the same message that you're trying to get across. It's the difference between Tupac and Twista. You get what I'm saying? Like, Twista can spit at you 100 miles per hour, say all types of craziness. But eventually, while I'm listening to that, I'm going to say, turn that off. And I might turn on some pop. Because they're set, you know, they represent similar things as far as the hood, speaking truth, blah, blah, blah. But Pac's going to give it to you straightforward. This is what I'm telling you. I ain't going to get fancy with you. This is just what it is. You know what I'm saying? And people gravitate to that. It may be simpler to somebody that wants to be the lyrical miracle rapper, but actually looking at, if you take into account that this was all based upon a form of poetry, you will know that poets go out of their way to say the craziest thing in a poem. You know what I'm saying? Your object is to be truthful and thought provoking in a way that people can digest.
Right. Right. I feel you on that.
Yeah, because you can talk about the moon and the stars and the atmosphere and never have to say a big word, you know what I mean? But some people would rather say the big word because it makes them appear to be more intelligent or that they're better, you know what I'm saying? That's something that I've had to deal with myself. I used to want to say the most craziest thing, but when you play it for a girl, she's like, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? I got tired of getting asked that question.
Don't do us like that.
No. I mean, not you specifically, but you know what I'm talking about.
No comment. Yeah, the women don't know what you be talking about.
I mean, and they'll know what you're talking about, but they don't care to know. That's really what it is.
But you do know it's mostly women are the ones that actually buy more music than the men.
Right. Dude, I mean, yeah.
That's crazy. I don't know.
Yeah,
let's take a call. I don't know if this person wants us to, if this person just listening or wants to ask a question or not, that's been on the phone for about 40 minutes. One moment.
Alright.
You on the air? You got a question for Jay Nolan?
Yo.
What's
up, P?
How you doing?
Hey, the boy Mike.
I don't.
Mike Wiley.
Mike. Oh,
what's up?
Okay.
Yeah,
when
what's
he
up?
Said that, I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. Kind of puzzled me for a moment.
I guess you call him the order or whatever, but I wanted to ask boy. Do you think it's
who's
the difference
home?
In poetry?
It's that.
Jay Nolan. Do
yeah,
you
yeah.
think there's a difference in the culture down south that's the reason they have the more trap music and club music? Like
Jay Nolan, is that your phone making that noise?
What noise?
No, we got two phones on here.
No, I'm saying I keep hearing like some cracking type of noise.
Nah, I ain't got no cracking over here.
wonder what is that. Okay, you can. Okay.
Is it static?
Yeah, I'm hearing it like some type of noise.
Yeah, I hear it too. It could be my phone. I don't know.
Yeah, it's okay. Oh. Can you ask your question again?
Do you think the reason that they, because the culture down south is so different, you think that's why they're more into the mainstream music instead of backpack hip hop?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I mean, for the most part, backpack hip hop has never been big out here. The most successful lyricist to ever, you know, get love out here was Outkast, and I don't even think he sold most of their records in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? They had to go other places. So I do think that the culture is just different. I think this has always been a more of a party city. You know what I'm saying? Back when the 69 Boys was out and Uncle Luke used to come to Atlanta. I mean, they had Freaknik out here, man. Like, a lot of people don't remember that. This has always been what it was. We just had a few people that broke out that wanted to do something else. But Atlanta hip-hop was started on bass. And I think it just basically went back to that in a different form.
Yeah, because the culture out there is like, you know, trap strip club.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean that's probably why they feel that music more. Cause like I actually think Cashin' Out is kind of lyrical to be from Columbus, Georgia.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
it's decent.
Okay.
Where are you from, by the way?
I'm from West Philly.
Okay. Yeah, I figured you was from Philly when you said the bull. Word. But it's just a different thing out here, man. You know, I don't try to knock it too much, but I definitely acknowledge it for what it is.
Okay. But
I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I never thought about it that way with the culture difference. I guess it never, I just never thought about that. I'm not from the East Coast, but you guys are from the East Coast. Is the culture a little different there? Because I've only been there for battle rap.
The culture is way different. I mean, like, you know, down in Georgia, it's like trap, go to strip club.
Right.
Like, it's like a big party.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, that's why I kind of figured that's why they're into the mainstream music.
Yeah, exactly.
But even if it's like that in Atlanta, I'm still trying to understand why is it still Southern music still all over the radio in the other cities, including East Coast?
Well, it's just, like I said, that's the sound of the party right now. Like, it's not really a Southern thing. It's just that's the music that gets people going as of right now. It's just what's hot.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody,
so you think lyricism?
I mean,
you can go ahead.
No, I mean, like, you know, like, I don't know if y'all are familiar with Cash Out, but he's a Southerner. He's from Columbus, Georgia, but he talks street, like, street shit, trap shit, club shit, but he lyrical with it.
Okay.
You know, so there are a lot of people down south gravitating back towards the essence of hip-hop.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, I mean, it's just the way to look at it.
Yeah. Mm.
Hopefully.
Yeah. You can hope that. Well, Patty, it sounded like you had a question about lyricism. What was that you was about to say?
What I was getting ready to ask, the other artists that are making music, do you think that they still value lyrics themselves? the ones I would say that are prominent.
Right, right. I would say most don't, because lyrics don't really sell. Right now, anyway.
That's crazy. I don't even.
I mean, because when you look at it, what sells the music are the beats and the hooks. You got a good beat, you got a hook to sing along to. You in, you got it. The verses are like, it's like it's like TV, right? Like, okay, when you got a good beat and a hook, that's like the show. Your verses are basically commercials. You sit through it because you're trying to get back to that hook.
Right.
It's pretty much what it is.
So where do you see hip-hop in the next, I will say, in the next 5 years? If it keep going the same way it's going now?
I don't know. I can't say because, you know, at the same time, while I can, you know, say that I don't like a majority of the music, one of the biggest artists that we have right now, everybody's waiting on Kendrick Lamar's album. Everybody went crazy over J. Cole's album. Those are lyricists. Those are guys who actually care about the art of putting words together. And they're going to give you, you know, some stuff for the radio, you know what I'm saying? But it's still not to the same level of, you know, it's not that same type of style that everybody else is doing. So, there's people out here that are being influenced by the Kendrick Lamars and the J. Coles, you know what I mean? Or when Drake feels like he wants to rap on whatever day it is. You know, there's people that are influenced by that. So I think that, you know, we're going to start seeing more people that value lyrics. I'm not, I would never say that it's like it's going to go away and die. But my thing is, I would like to see more. I would like to see a lot more people that are willing to take that chance and actually say something. If you're going to step up to a mic, I would just like to hear you say something. That's just my preference.
But how do you get more artists to do this if the people, they keep getting the nonchalant attitude?
Yeah. I mean, I would advise somebody just to go against the grain. Like, if you see that Kendrick Lamar is popping, you see that J. Cole is popping, you see that Drake is popping, you see that there's people who, you know, there's a Chance the Rapper, you know what I mean? Like, he has his own fan base that's, like, a small percentage of the hip-hop population, but he's touring crazy. He's doing stuff overseas. He's got all types of stuff going on, you know what I'm saying? It's people that actually trying to put, you know, thought into what they saying that are actually becoming successful, you know what I mean? You may not always be, you know what I mean? You may not have the number one hot song on the radio station every day, but you can still, you know what I mean, develop a fan base. You can still tour. You can still be successful. You just gotta be an individual to stand on that and be like, you know what, this is what I want to do. I'm going to put some care into my art. You know what I mean? I think that's just what it is. If anybody really wants to be a part of this, I mean, you have a decision to make. You can go for the easy route or you can take a more complicated route. And whichever is more fulfilling to you at the end of the day is what you're going to go with. I would just like to see other people that are willing to do it. I think that's my biggest gripe, is that it's not more people that are willing to take that chance, because the benefit, you know what I mean, the risk versus reward, the reward is still great if you take that risk.
Right. So that's your ultimate goal in the industry, is to continue to be a lyrical artist.
Yeah. I mean, I have goals that go beyond just rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, the things that we're talking about, the questions that you're asking me about, I want to be able to go around the world and talk to people about these exact topics that we're talking about. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Making great songs is cool, but I want to be able to reach the masses and actually be accessible to people that may not have access to this information all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's the biggest failure that hip-hop has currently, you know what I mean, is the fact that we don't have any source of curriculum or spokesman who can articulate about this culture and actually bring value to what it is that we're all trying to do with this music. It's looked at like, you know, some nigga shit, and I don't like that. You know what I mean? And it's not it is black music, it is black culture, but we need to, I personally feel that we need to bring some value to it so that, you know, when everybody is dead and gone and 50 years from now, they look back at what hip-hop is and what it was, you know, the next generation of people can have a rubric of what hip-hop was, what it stood for, and how to carry on that tradition. If you don't give it to them, they'll never know. So I want to be a spokesman for hip-hop. You know, being an artist, that was my first passion, it was my first love. But as I grow and get older as a human being and I start seeing more things in the world, you know, it comes more to my attention that people just don't know where this came from. And if you can, you know what I mean, it may not change the course of a person's life because they do know, but at least when you learn something, you don't unlearn it. You know what I mean? Like, you just want people right. to be informed. So that's my ultimate
goal. I think you
goal.
Should do yeah. it.
That's exactly what I'm going for. I mean, that's my goal. So that's the mission that I wake up with every day that I wake up. You know what I mean? I may think of some lyrics and make a song, but ultimately now with my, you know, that I found a different purpose, when I'm writing songs, I even have to write differently from the perspective of a person that's going to be questioned about everything that I say because of the position that I want to have.
Especially while you're young, because when right. you look at a lot of the older artists, a lot of the older artists are making the what young people call preachy songs. If they can hear this more from somebody that's young, that's in the same right. age range as them, and then, like you said, being a spokesperson and making music like that, I think they will listen more if more younger
right.
people stood up like you and took a chance.
Exactly.
That would be great. And do yeah. you have any tours coming?
Currently, I don't. That's the biggest issue, you know what I'm saying, is just trying to get booked for these types of things and just connecting with new people that have access to, you know, more outlets. That's really the goal, you know what I mean, is just to connect with more people that can put you in a position to be, you know, the artist that you want to be, you know what I mean. Doing it yourself is the hardest thing you could ever do.
One thing I thought about, I just wonder why more artists don't link up and put their money together and say, let's just go on a nationwide tour for the underground. If you take
that
like 10 people or maybe 5
right.
people, you know, or something like that. Because I always thought about that.
That
like how, right. And I've talked to a couple of people about that. Like, what can you do to get these artists together? Because if you're sitting in the studio, you're sitting making music.
Mm-hmm.
What is it really? If sometimes you do have people that's listening to your music, but what is your ultimate goal if you're just going to just keep putting out mixtapes, you're going to just be doing videos? Some may not be making money, some may make money.
Right.
But I thought about that. Why can't people just all link up together? And I know one of the things I would say is more people are more selfish.
Uh-huh.
It may be ego involved, but people need to put that to the side.
That's the number one thing, selfish, you know what I mean? Because if you take 10 people and tell them to put up 10 stacks of their own money towards this tour, the first thing that person is going to think of is, I'm not about to invest in so some other nigga could get seen. I'm investing in for myself.
That's investing in themselves too, though.
It is, but you know, the more educated a person is, the more that they can see that. But a lot of people don't have that knowledge to know that, you know, if you invest in a team, you win with the team. You know what I'm saying? But people just don't have that mentality.
Right. Crazy. Let's take another. This other person has been waiting on the line. Let's see if he wants, if he has a question for you, he or she.
Okay.
You're on the air. You have a question for Jay Nolan? Hello?
Uh-oh.
Maybe they just want to listen.
Yeah, I'm still listening.
Oh, where? Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
I was just,
Oh, okay. Okay. So no question. Okay.
And can we get a freestyle?
Okay.
Can we get a freestyle?
I could drop something. Let me see what I got, man. Don't put me on the spot, man, while I'm trying to talk about educating hip hop.
Right. Who is this anyway? Is this Michael or is this somebody else?
Yeah, it's still me
talking.
Okay, okay.
Oh, okay. Because somebody else is not click somebody on, but I guess they're not saying anything. Guess they're just listening. Yeah, just put him in another mode, and I'm asking questions. See, he's, you know what, that's when you know it's a battle rapper. It's somebody that's used to battle rapping freestyles and people just dropping bars, like right then and there, because they're used to that.
That's right. It's all good, though. I ain't mad at that. So, should I go ahead and drop a verse now, or?
You can. I did have some more questions, but you can.
You can go right back into the question. You know, the listeners want to hear something.
Yeah, it's not a problem. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and do this now. And it goes like, can you count the amount of cracks that's in your concrete? How many times you lose before you went on Wall Street? Blood on my hands from counting the innocent lives we lost behind these enemy lines of war for empires like Terrence Howard, scouting for manpower to give us free. My sentences describe sentences, violence collides, images sent from the ignorance back when they lynched us from trees. Till Willie Lynch, I read his manuscripts and flipped them with ease. Money don't come around. All I got is time to read these policies while all these rappers argue about discographies. I'm trying to seize moments, holding on to my scrolls like archaeology. If death is coming, I'm trying to preserve my essence like astrology. Now vibe with me. Grew up like a school up where they threw up, red and blew up through the sewer. Got them shooters holding twos up. Lock and load, they sprouting out like tulips. Precipitation, eliminate the participation rumors. You just get low like agriculture. Carry the toast of an established culture. Catastrophe bringing our families closer. Within the distance, witness memories rehashing. If anything, they had to remember me for my passion, especially in disasters. My positive thoughts produce courage in their cowardly hearts. Right from the start, I see it clearly. Weaponizing my colony with ammo. If you feel misrepresented, take the time to change the channel. That's how that verse go.
Bars.
Wow.
Appreciate it.
Bars. You know who he kind of put me in the mind of? Kind of sounded like Lux a little bit. When he starts saying that, he's kind of put me in the mind of Lux.
I don't know who Lux is. I was thinking about J. Cool.
I'll take that.
Yeah, like, yo, yeah, yeah. That fucks with that straight bars.
Right, for real bars. I appreciate that. That's for real bars.
Not a problem. You're going to put me on the spot. I gotta spit. I can't spit no BS.
That's how they did it in the 90s. You know what I mean? And you do got that 90s, that 90s, 98, 96 to like, actually 94 to like 2000 vibe when hip hop was rock first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. That's
but
pretty dope.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to go back to listening now.
Okay,
it's all good, man.
I'll be talking a lot. Tell people a little bit about the merchandise too that you're selling.
Okay, well, the merchandise line that I got is called Team Righteous. And basically, if anybody wants to check out Team Righteous, you can go to teamrighteous.spreadshirt.com. And the concept of the merchandise was basically, if I'm going to be out here, you know, trying to sell music and trying to, you know, go on these different tours in the future and, to have merch. You got to, or else you're just not going to make no money. It's like, all right, if I'm going to put something on a T-shirt and sell it to somebody, what do I want it to be? And I came to the conclusion that I don't want people coming to my stand buying something with my name on it that says J. Nolan and just looks generic, because a lot of people sell generic merchandise. I wanted something that actually looks like a real clothing brand but actually has a message to it, so that you, when you buy it, you're not just buying a T-shirt, you're buying a message. You know what I'm saying? And what's deeper than righteousness? You know, trying to live a life, you know, aligned with God or whomever you believe in, you know what I'm saying? And trying to strive for positive things and enlightening your mind to new things and just, you know, being in that space. So that's what Team Righteous is all about.
I like that. I'm going to have to get my sweater. I like that.
I appreciate that.
That's really dope.
I hope you do. I hope to see you in it, you know, get a picture. That'll help me promote it, too.
Right. You know, what I wanted to do when I did your blog, I wanted to have one of those sweaters on, but I didn't have enough time because you would have had to ship them here, and that probably would have taken a minute. So that's why I did the poster thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I didn't have that type of time. Yeah. We had scheduled your interview a couple of weeks, you know, but, yeah.
Yeah.
With it being 4 or 5 days, I said, no, it's not going to get here in time. So that's what I wanted to do. But I'm going to have to order me some. Now, I have a question. The question that I have, like one of my last questions that I have, you hear a lot of people saying, when you think about the Iggy, when you think about the Iggy, she is really selling music. When I look at her videos, 7 to 8 million views, which are way higher than other people that's in hip hop. Do you fear that other races, and you hear people saying this all the time, but you know, I'm just gonna go ahead and say it, do you fear the other races are a threat to taking over hip hop? Or do you feel like music is just like for everybody? Well, music is for everybody, but do you feel that being a threat? Because if a lot of races come in and start making music with the hip-hop, would that make it to where you got less people, where people will listen to them? Do you have a fear of that?
It's not a fear of mine. It's not really a concern, but I do understand anybody that does feel that way, because when you look at Iggy Azalea in particular, you know, black females are actually the people that are helping her write her songs.
Really?
So, yeah. When you check the credits.
I never heard that.
So, yeah. You know, so that's the tough thing, you know what I mean? Because then when you start getting into it like that, that's when you start looking stuff, you start looking at it like, man, is this Elvis all over again, or what are we doing here? But I'm not too concerned with it, because Iggy Azalea and Macklemore, it's only two people out of the hundreds of, you know, black and Latino artists that we have out here. It's not that much of a concern. The bottom line is, somebody like Iggy or whoever the white artist may be, is that white people are the majority of the American population. So when they see somebody that looks like them, they're going to buy it. It's just off GP, you know what I mean? They buy everything anyway, but when they see people that look like them, they really going to buy it. So
you think that would be the reason, so you wouldn't just say it's because, you know, with her winning the award, that her music is just so great, it's just because of the majority.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I never looked at that like.
Yeah, because even Macklemore and Eminem,
have admitted that. You know what I'm saying? They admit to the white privilege that they see. You know, they know that, you know, if a black guy made the same songs that they made, the black dude would never sell as many records. It's just not gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? Now, that doesn't mean that the black person is less talented. They just have lesser opportunity due to the percentages.
I feel you on that. I feel you. Yeah, that's a great perspective on that. It is. And how can, because I know I grilled you for the last hour and a half, I'm having a lot of questions. How can the people get in touch with you, and are you working on any newer projects? Because you got The Humble Legend, which is your latest project that you dropped.
Yep.
Are you still promoting that, or are you working on something new coming up?
I'm working on a lot of new music. First and foremost, anybody that wants to get in contact with me, you can do so through Twitter, which is at Real J Nolan, and that's spelled exactly how it sounds. No funny spelling. It's RealJNolan. If you would like to contact me and keep up with me on Instagram, it's Real J Nolan as well. If you're a user of Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/RealJNolan and like the page, and you'll get my updates. Or you could just add me as a normal friend, where, you know, you may just want to see what's going on with my life, period. I don't know. And you could just put in Jamar Nolan. That's my real name. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's the basic ways anybody can get in contact with me. As far as music, or if you want to reach me through email, hit me up at realjnolan@gmail.com. That's for people that, you know, may be hearing this interview and just want to chime in on something, or if you make music, or if you, you know, or your guy that called in that does the interviews and everything, you know, you can contact me directly at realjnolan@gmail.com, and we can make something happen on that end. But as far as new music, I'm working on a mixtape called My Name is J Nolan. And the reason why I titled it that is because I want to utilize this project as the launching board for my brand. And I want people to know everything that I stand for in one project, just so you know what I mean? Because you never know who could hear. And I want the next thing that people hear from me to be the most accurate depiction of who I am as I could give them.
Right. And what about your YouTube? What about your YouTube name, where of your music is? What is your YouTube?
Yeah. If you'd like to search for my music on YouTube, you can go to youtube.com/manifestmovement. Manifest is spelled MANIFEST, and movement is spelled MOVEMENT. And Manifest Movement is the label page. It has my music. It has Young B, the producer's music, who's also an artist and producer from the Manifest Movement. And, you know, subscribe to that YouTube channel. You get all of my new content first on there as far as videos go. And, yeah, that's pretty much the best way to go.
That's pretty dope. And we're going to be, yes, going to be looking you up a lot more. So I'm going to conclude, because I know it's been like an hour and a half. So I'm going to go ahead and conclude the interview, because I have a lot of questions. So I'm going to go ahead and conclude the interview. You guys got J Nolan's information to get in touch with him, and also his YouTube channel, where you can listen to a lot more of his music, and also check out the blog. I got his blog out there too on UDG Sounds YouTube, where you can see clips of his, well, hear clips of his music too. But you also, you need to listen to the whole song. So we're going to go ahead and end this section. And next week I'll be coming back with somebody else, another exclusive interview. And thank you, J. Nolan. I apologize. Thank you for coming on.
G-Day.
I don't know who. Everybody dropped off.
Hello?
Yes, this you still UJ No for somebody because the phone is dropping off.
Get off air.
Okay. Right. So that concludes the section. I guess everybody else hung up.